Okay, this is Brother Peter Diamond here with Michael Creighton. Our website is VaticanCatholic.com, and we were going to be debating and discussing the issue of whether Pope Honorius was actually condemned as a heretic. He believes that he was condemned as someone who was guilty of failing to stamp out heresy.
The Church certainly has not condemned him as a heretic.
Maybe you could speak up a bit more.
The Greeks may have done so at the Council of Constantinople.
Okay, I'm sorry. Could you just speak up a little more just so it comes through better on the recording?
Sure. Is this a little better?
Yeah. If you could just try to speak up, that'd be good.
Right.
Okay, what'd you say again? Could you just repeat what you said?
Yeah, my position is that the Honorius is not a heretic, was never proclaimed a heretic by the Church, even if the Greeks may have condemned him as such at the Council of Constantinople III. Certainly, Pope Leo II never did. And, for instance, St. Robert Bellarmine writes a good defense of Honorius in this regard.
Okay, whenever you're done, I'll just respond to that.
So why don't you state your position why you believe he was a heretic and why he was condemned as such.
Okay. Honorius must be considered to have been a heretic because he was clearly condemned as a heretic by the Third Council of Constantinople, as well as the Second Council of Nicaea and the Fourth Council of Constantinople. And many people make the mistake in assuming that when Pope St. Leo II approved the Third Council of Constantinople, that he only approved it with the qualification that Honorius was condemned for failing to stamp out heresy, but not for having been a heretic himself. However, in making that argument, they're actually reading into what Pope Leo II said. And if you read the different letters, he actually wrote five letters after the council. He wrote one to the Emperor Constantine IV, one to King Erwin of Spain, one to the Spanish bishops, and in none of those letters did he say that Honorius was not a heretic. In fact, he says that Honorius did not illuminate the Apostolic See with the doctrine of apostolic tradition, but tried to subvert it. He attempted to subvert it by his treachery. And so that is certainly not declaring that he is not to be camped with the heretics, even though later theologians sometimes interpreted it in that way. And I believe the reason they went in that direction is because they were concerned about denouncing Honorius as a heretic. They were concerned that if they did so, that would lead to arguments against the infallibility of the papal office and so forth. And so that's why many drifted into the understanding that, well, he was only condemned for failing to act, not for what he actually did. And it's just not tenable. I mean, if I could just say a few more things about what the council said and some of the facts about Honorius's condemnation at the Third Council of Constantinople. It's very interesting. His condemnation is found in the Acts. His two letters at the council were burned at the Third Council of Constantinople. At the 17th session, the council fathers proclaimed anathema to the heretic Sergius, to the heretic Cyrus, to the heretic Honorius. We have numerous other statements. The report of the council to the emperor says that Honorius, formerly bishop of Rome, had punished with exclusion and anathema by the council because he followed the Monothelites. In the council's letter to Pope Agatho, the council says it has slain Honorius with an anathema. And so the evidence is simply overwhelming that he was condemned as a heretic.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I would have to disagree with that. If because the council did so, does not mean Leo II did so. Leo II simply says that he did not essentially guard the deposit of faith. Secondly, Pope St. Agatho says that the faith of Peter that is in the popes has never failed. So it's very clear, according to Bellarmine, that St. Agatho certainly did not consider him a heretic. If we look at why he's considered a heretic, you have to realize the historical background. At this time, the Persians were invading from the east, and the emperor wanted peace between the east and the west, and Sergius was, there was this monophysite heresy, which was a reaction to Nestorianism at the Council of Chalcedon. The monophysites essentially said that the human nature was absorbed by the divine nature, or monophysite, if you will. It's pronounced different ways. What Sergius was trying to do was unite the Catholic with the monophysite camp and to unify things again. So he came up with this notion, what we call monophysite, which means one operation. And so he wrote Honorius. Unfortunately, he was very deceptive, where he's saying, you know, I'm perfectly willing to drop the phrase one operation if these others will stop using the phrase two operations. And so Honorius, you know, his concern was that, you know, he acknowledged there was two natures in Christ, but this two operations was suggesting some kind of contradiction or push and pull rather than a unity of will. In other words, divine will never being in contradiction with the human will of Christ. And so he was concerned about that they might be accused of Nestorianism, if they use this, two operations. And so, which is why he, suppressed the, you know, let's not talk about this.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you admit that Leo II doesn't say anywhere that Honorius was not a heretic?
He basically accused him of not defending the faith, but he does not accuse him of heresy.
Well, that wasn't my question. My question was, does he approve the Third Council of Constantinople? And the Third Council of Constantinople condemned Honorius as a heretic. And in approving that, did he disagree and say that he was not a heretic?
In approving, he approves the council, but does not accuse Honorius of being a heretic.
But where does Leo II say, and please cite me his exact words, where he says that Honorius was not a heretic? You would agree he doesn't say that.
Let me just look through a document I have here to look up actually Leo's words.
Well, I can give you his words to the emperor. He says, "Moreover, we anathematize also Honorius, who ruled this apostolic church, not by the doctrine of apostolic tradition. Rather, he tried by profane treason to overthrow the immaculate faith of the Roman Church." And so he anathematizes with
them. Yes, Bellarmine says that those letters of Leo II, which divulge a condemnation, are fabricated by the monophysites.
Okay, before we get into that.
Yeah, he accuses them of fabricating that condemnation because Pope St. Agatho contradicts that, and
Well, but yeah. So you would agree that Leo II doesn't say that Honorius was not a heretic?
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that according to Bellarmine, that this was a fabrication by the Greeks.
So you're relying, as you indicated in your emails, for your position that Honorius was not a heretic primarily on St. Robert Bellarmine's understanding and St. Alphonsus' understanding, correct?
Well, they're quoting the people at the time, for instance, Pope St. Agatho.
Okay, so you're relying for your understanding that Honorius was not a heretic on St. Robert Bellarmine and St. Alphonsus, correct? That would be a fair...
Right, because they're quoting these these popes.
All right. Well, are you aware that St. Robert Bellarmine and St. Alphonsus don't even agree with each other on the issue? St. Robert Bellarmine, as you just alluded to, believes that the acts against Honorius at the Third Council of Constantinople were forged. St. Alphonsus thinks that's wrong. He thinks that he was actually condemned at the Third Council of Constantinople, but that he was condemned by Leo II in the sense of failing to stamp out heresy. Whereas St. Robert Bellarmine believes that the letters of Leo II and the acts of the Third Council of Constantinople are completely forged. And as St. Alphonsus says, that position of St. Robert Bellarmine, upon which you're basing many of your arguments, isn't even tenable. And this serves to illustrate why we do not go by doctors of the Church when facts from the teaching of the Magisterium and of history contradict them. They completely disagree with each other on numerous core issues. For example, St. Robert Bellarmine says that there was no error in Honorius' letters to Sergius, whereas St. Alphonsus...
I would tend to agree with Bellarmine because if we look at the... these were novel phrases at the time. This one operation, two operations, this hasn't been... So, you know, one has to be very careful of the condemnation of Pope. And I'm of the same opinion of Bellarmine that that Honorius was not a heretic. I think that St. Alphonsus certainly, who would take a more condemnatory view, said that at least he wasn't, quote, condemned as a heretic. But I would say that, you know, clearly from Honorius' own writings, he's concerned with the, you know, falling back into the Nestorian heresy. And so that's why he wants to be careful. Secondly, he wants to be careful about using the word two operations as if to, say that there would be, some kind of contradiction in the wills, right? And so.
Well, let me just. Yeah, there are big problems with St. Robert Bellarmine's position.
So I think one has to be very careful about that. And secondly, I believe the words of in Vatican I that, you know, the faith of Peter will not fail, quoting Luke 22:32. So I don't believe that a pope who is a true pope could be a formal heretic.
Can I respond to that? That with regard to Peter's faith not failing, that refers to in the chair itself. And actually, when Agatho made statements to the effect that his predecessors in the chair had sustained the apostolic faith, etc., when that was put or approved in the decree on faith in the Third Council of Constantinople, it was done so with the qualification that they condemn Honorius, because in that very decree, they denounce Honorius. Now, St. Robert Bellarmine's position on Honorius is completely untenable for a number of reasons. Not only does St. Alphonsus say it's untenable, because if we are to suppose that the acts of the Third Council of Constantinople were forged, as Bellarmine puts forward, St. Alphonsus quotes another author who says, well, then we'd also have to believe that the acts of the Second Council of Nicaea in 787 and the Fourth Council of Constantinople in 869-870 were also forged, because they repeat the condemnation of Honorius that was given in the Third Council of Constantinople. And he says this is not tenable. Moreover, there are just major disagreements between Bellarmine and Alphonsus on this topic. For example, St. Alphonsus says in History of Heresies, we do not by any means deny that Honorius was in error when he imposed silence on those who discussed the question of one or two wills in Christ. Okay, so he's saying that he clearly was wrong.
He says he erred in not in.
Let me just finish this.
But that is not St. Alphonsus saying that he is a heretic.
But let me just finish my point.
I take a more liberal view in the sense that I'm willing to give Honorius the benefit of the doubt, certainly because these were novel notions at the time, and this one and two operations, that's the word they're using. when they say, you know, monothelite means the one operation.
Well, yeah, let me just finish my point, that St. Robert Bellarmine, whereas St. Alphonsus says that it was definitely wrong, and he actually favored the heretics when he imposed the silence. St. Robert Bellarmine says it was prudential for him to impose the silence and not use either phrase. That's a monumental difference. Moreover, did you know...
That's a monumental difference, but that is not... Neither one is condemning him as a heretic.
Well, but my point is that you have based your conclusion that Honorius was not a heretic largely on your confidence in St. Robert Bellarmine and St. Alphonsus. And what I'm pointing out to you is they don't agree with each other on the issue. Their arguments are inconsistent. And let me just finish my point, then you can respond.
Honorius, that is heretical.
What's that?
Give me the exact quote of Honorius that's heretical.
I have it here. But furthermore, one wouldn't have to do so because the councils condemned him as being in the camp with the monothelites. They did it over and over again. Anathema to the heretic, Honorius. And in fact, the papal oath, as it's found in the Liber Diurnus, taken by each new pope from the 8th to the 11th century, smites with eternal anathema the originators of the new heresy, Sergius, together with Honorius, because he assisted the base assertion of the heretics. And also, it was in the breviary for centuries that Honorius was condemned and excommunicated by the Third Council of Constantinople. And so the evidence is overwhelming, and what people have done is they've read things into what St. Leo II said in confirmation of the council that are not there. They concluded that he is saying, well, he's not condemned as a heretic, but only condemned for his negligence. That's not tenable. You would have to provide direct proof that Leo II is saying that he's not condemned as a heretic. And what further is interesting to consider is, if you are so convinced, and you were quite adamant, that Honorius cannot be considered a heretic because you wrote us saying that we have to amend our position, well, St. Francis de Sales, another doctor of the Church, in his book, The Catholic Controversy, he says, we do not say that a pope cannot err or become altogether a heretic, as perhaps Honorius was. And so St. Francis de Sales believes that Honorius was perhaps a heretic. The truth is he was definitely a heretic.
So he's talking about a cult heresy here.
No, he just says a heretic. He doesn't say a cult.
Well, he says perhaps was a heretic.
The reason he says perhaps is because he wasn't sure between these two positions. Some people believe he was condemned directly for heresy. Some people believe he was condemned for failing to stamp out heresy. And what I'm saying to you is that they drifted into the position that he might have been condemned only for failing to stamp out heresy because they were concerned about how that would affect arguments in defense of papal infallibility. Whereas the true position is he was condemned as a heretic by numerous councils, and there is no proof to contradict that. And so it's wishful thinking on the part of theologians to conclude that he wasn't condemned as a heretic. It's not tenable. We've got massive contradictions in the positions of those who would think otherwise. Did you know that St. Robert Bellarmine said that the Council of Pisa was neither rejected nor approved by the Church? Do you know what the Council of Pisa was?
Is this the one... You'll have to excuse me. I'm not sure which council this is. What period of history?
That was during the Great Western Schism, the council which elected the third antipope, the Pisan antipope.
Oh yes.
Cardinals got together from both camps and elected the Pisan antipope.
That's
and
right.
So it's not approved by the Church, but Bellarmine says that it was neither rejected nor approved. My point is he was wrong, okay? He made numerous mistakes. He's a saint. He's a doctor of the Church, but they make mistakes, okay? And
yeah, I agree. All I'm saying is if you look at the actual writing of Honorius, it's very clear that he's trying to avoid, you know, falling into the one operation, meaning there's only one nature. He clearly admits there are two natures. Secondly, he doesn't want to fall into the Nestorian camp of admitting or having a quote contradiction. I mean, if you read his own writings, he says here, I'll read this one quote, to avoid the scandal of new invention, we're not allowed to define there are two operations, but instead the unique operation achieving decisions, as some will say, we must speak of one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. he's talking about, he's thinking of operations as referring to persons, right? Like a person being the responsible agent. And so, but now that we have this clarity by the church's teaching at the Third Council of Constantinople on what these operations mean, meaning will, not person, you know, I think one has to be very careful about accusing a pope of being a heretic.
Well, if one were doing so without evidence and on one's own authority without evidence, then I would agree with you. But we've got the decrees of the church's magisterium to back us up. We have overwhelming evidence that this is the conclusion of the Third Council of Constantinople, the Fourth Council of Constantinople,
yeah,
and Nicaea too.
I would disagree that Leo, what I'm saying is that Leo II, by his words, did not accuse him directly of heresy. And so I still
do you agree?
Disagree. When I read the writings of Honorius, I see where his confusion was on what these words mean. It's clear he's thinking person rather than nature.
Well, Honorius was condemned by the Third Council of Constantinople and the other councils. And let me finish. And Leo II approved.
Condemned him, but what I'm saying.
But Leo II approved.
If you read what Leo II, even in his condemnation, doesn't actually call him a heretic.
He doesn't need to. He anathematizes him. He says he tried to subvert the apostolic faith, and he puts him in the camp with those who are condemned, and he doesn't say he was not condemned as a heretic. And so when the Pope confirms the council's decrees on faith stand. And so for you to make an argument that, well, he confirmed the council, but he's not saying that he agrees with the council's condemnation of Honorius, you would have to produce proof that Leo II specifically qualified that condemnation from a condemnation of someone as a heretic to something else. And there's nothing like that. That's something that people have read into it. And actually, you emailed us the Catholic Encyclopedia article, which you thought supported your position. Well, even in that article, it says, quote, "It is clear that no Catholic has the right to defend Pope Honorius. He was a heretic, not in intention, but in fact." So even the Catholic Encyclopedia article, which I do not agree with everything it says about it, it admits that he was a heretic.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Certainly now, after the council, we understand what those words operation mean, and I would never support Honorius's position. What I'm saying is, if you read his writings, it's clear that he's confusing operation with person. And operation means will, and so that this was the I'm not supporting his position. I'm simply saying I don't believe he's a heretic because I would agree with that Catholic Encyclopedia article that Leo II appears to abrogate, if you will, the direct condemnation of Honorius, and
well, he doesn't do that. That's
okay,
just
well. I mean, that's our disagreement, right?
Well, but you can't cite anything in which he does that.
Well, he accuses him of treachery, but he does not accuse him of.
He says
heresy.
He tried to overthrow or subvert the apostolic faith by profane treachery, and he approves the council's condemnation of him as a heretic. Your position is not tenable. It's just not. And another contradiction in St. Robert Bellarmine's argument is that he's asserting or alleging that there are all these fraudulent texts, etc. And when he discusses which ancient authors he thinks are reliable, he makes reference to Venerable Bede. But then he admits that Venerable Bede's work also condemns Honorius as a heretic, and he just sort of glosses that one over. It doesn't add up, and that's why we give respect to what the saints say, but when they are clearly opposed to facts or things of greater weight, they must be set aside, and that's why people have too much confidence in the theological conclusions of theologians when the facts contradict them. And so the position that he was not a heretic, it's really not tenable. It's maybe not the biggest issue, because I think we both agree, regardless of what you conclude on this, it doesn't contradict the truth that Benedict XVI is not the Pope, etc. But it, in order to be consistent, one should hold the correct position on this issue.
Okay. I'm going to research this a little more. What was the following councils that you mentioned that Honorius was condemned?
Second Council of Nicaea and the Fourth Council of Constantinople. They essentially repeated the condemnation of him. And there was also the oath from the 8th century on that numerous popes
okay.
took.
I will look those up. I wasn't aware of those, but I'll look them up.
All right. So we could discuss some more, or you think that's pretty much...
No, I think we've discussed enough.
All right, that was interesting.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Appreciate the conversation.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye now.